no one in their right mind should go. And I'm going to tell you how to raise your children. Even if you've already raised them, or mostly raised them, I think this is valid. Children are mad about this, I can tell. It's revolting. I don't mean your children are revolting. I'm not saying that. Anyway, so I'm going to talk about children and what the Bible has to say about raising children, tell you a little bit about my own experiences growing up, and then, how's it going, Sandra? All right, here she is. Are you going to help me? Tell people about how to raise children? So I'm not actually going to read the scriptures today. I'm just going to spring them on you later. I'm going to pray, and then Doug's going to come up and do something. Not a dance.
No.
Not a dance. Just a drama.
Right there.
All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this morning, the opportunity to meet with my brothers and sisters. Lord, help us to give courage to each other, to encourage each other this morning. Lord, we all need it. And help us to receive encouragement from others and from you. I pray that we will listen attentively, that we will hear what you have to say through your word. And Lord, I just ask that you bless our time together. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, kids, you know where you're supposed to go. I think you know where you're supposed to go. Do it. Do it. Do it.
Yeah.
So I am indeed going to talk about children's and the raising of them. Okay, where to start? So who really wants to set themselves up as an expert on this, on raising children? Anybody, any volunteers, a child raising expert? Oh, get out of here. I mean, we all have opinions, right? We all have ideas. And I admit, I'm grateful for my son, Grant. I'm really proud of him. But I wasn't sure I'd be any good at this parenting thing when I started. And I think Beth maybe had her doubts, too, that I would be any good at this parenting thing when we first started. In fact, I remember the day after we got back from the hospital, we went to Kinko's to make the birth announcements to send out to friends and family, right? So there we were at Kinko's, and I'm messing around with the copier, and Grant's down here on the floor in his little carrier right next to our feet, right? We're paying good attention to him because, you know, you want to keep him alive. That's important. It's probably the first step, by the way. That's a freebie for you. First step to raising your kids, keep him alive. Yeah.
Doing good so far.
And so I'm, you know, messing around with paper and stuff, and I have this sheet of plastic, and I just put it down because I couldn't find a place to put it. Put it right on his face. And Beth goes, you know, there might be a better place to put that down. Oh, yeah, breathing. That's probably important to him. So I wasn't sure that I'd be good at this at all. Maybe a little absent-minded kind of thing. In fact, I actually told Beth, I was a little scared. I'm scared of little infants. They're dangerous. In fact, until you're about 3, I'm scared of you. I really am. Because I don't know what you're going to do. You know what I'm saying? You could go off. Anything could happen. You could explode. It's been known to happen. And so I told Beth, I said, "Hun, he's yours until he's," I think I said 5. Did I say 5?
6.
I said, I don't know what to do. At 6, I can throw ball with him and stuff and teach him to ride a bike and then take him to Disneyland. But before, they're just weird. It's just weird, you know. They scream, they yell, they cry, they poop a lot. And then they do some more of that. And turns out, though, I was like the very first night. It's like I was the first one to change his diaper. And, of course, I was baptized. learned a few things right there. Make a tent of the diaper, right?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen. Okay. So that's another freebie for you, if you haven't had children and you're planning on it. But I want to talk about raising children from a biblical perspective. And I have managed to keep Grant alive for about 18 and a half years, despite my best efforts. And so here we go. And truly, not everything that seemed to work for Grant works for everyone, because kids are different. And if you've already had children, or you're not planning on having children, or you never have had children, or you know, your children are all grown up and moved away and are no trouble anymore, this still might be good for you. This still might be good to hear, because I think it applies to us all. So please don't leave. I think most of what I learned about parenting over the years, I learned from the mistakes of others. And here are some of my favorites, some of the things that my parents said that I think were just a little crazy. You know, the parents say crazy things. Yes, they do. If I've told you once, I've told you 1,000 times. Really? So if you'd said your expectation clearly the first time, I might have paid attention and done it. I don't know which of you is guilty, so I'm going to punish you both. So I learned a lot about justice, that it's not only blind, but stupid. This hurts me more than it hurts you. Not a chance. Steve, Dan, Joe, whatever your name is, get in here. Thanks, Mom, for making me feel like a faceless, nameless crowd when I'm your own child. And then another one is my favorite. When you have your own kids, you'll understand. I don't. Well, I try to supply the good stuff that my parents applied in raising me and supply the things that I felt were missing. I carefully observed parents, all kinds of parents, and then I became one. And I often thought, you know, by what they're doing, wow, that's not working well, is it? Or that seems to work. And so that was kind of my thought. So now we're going to take a look at some of the scriptures, and I'm going to go back and kind of take them one by one and talk about just what the Bible has to say. It has an awful lot to say about children and what we're supposed to do. So let's take a look, just sequentially. I think we have 5 different scriptures. Let's start at the top. Didn't the Lord make you one with your wife? In body and spirit you are His. And what does He want? Godly children from your union. So guard your heart and remain loyal to the wife of your youth. That passage is often the passage used in talking about divorce. The next verse says, I hate divorce. And one of the reasons that God hates divorce is why? It's really rough on the children. It just is. Doesn't mean that you can't fix it, you can't make things better, you can, and doesn't mean you're not supposed to take it from there and improve it. Of course you are. Of course God wants you to succeed at that point. But it's tough on the children, and He wants you to not just wander off and, you know, say, I'm done with this marriage and I'm leaving these kids behind, and be a deadbeat dad or deadbeat mom. Let's hold it there for just a second. Susanna Wesley, who's the mother of Charles and John Wesley, you may know those guys. They kind of started this whole Methodist thing and also wrote a lot of hymns. By the way, Charles Wesley wrote Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Well, he wrote that. Yeah, it's pretty hip for that time, for the early 1700s. Susanna Wesley said this about raising children. She was the mother of Charles and John and 15 other children. So she kept busy. She said she followed these rules in training them. Subdue self-will in the child and thus work together with God to save his soul. Teach him to pray as soon as he can speak. Give him nothing he cries for and only what is good for him if he asks for it politely. Try that in a grocery store. To prevent lying, punish no fault for which is freely confessed, but never allow a rebellious, sinful act to go unnoticed. Commend and reward good behavior, and strictly observe all promises you have made to your child. I think it's pretty good stuff. But I want to look at this verse here and say just the same thing that I think Susanna Wesley had in mind. The goal of raising children is to raise godly children. The goal of having children is to have godly children. You know what that means? That means that you want them to love and follow the Lord. Because that's the only way they're going to find peace, joy, and fulfillment in life. You want that for your kids, right? You want that for your kids no matter how old they are. You want them to find peace, joy, and fulfillment in life. Now, your goal is not to raise them to be cool. Your goal is not to raise them to be popular or street smart or good citizens or wealthy or successful in this world. Now, think that through. That's not your goal. Your goal is to raise godly children. They may not be any of the above. And that's just fine in God's eyes. Because we often want our kids to have what we didn't have. You know? If we weren't super popular, we said, I want my kid, I want everybody to like my kid. I want him to be popular. If we didn't have a lot of money, so I want them to have what we didn't have. But God says, what I want is godly children. Let's take a look at the next verse, if we will. Parents, don't be hard on your children. Raise them properly. Teach them and instruct them about the Lord. Your goal is to teach them and instruct them about the Lord. It doesn't matter whether they become rich or poor, popular or unpopular, brain surgeons or plaid pantry clerks. And this verse has two instructions to it, doesn't it? Don't be hard on your children. Don't be hard on your children. Don't exasperate them. Don't provoke them to anger. And teach them and instruct them about the Lord. Raise them properly is kind of the goal in here. Don't be hard on them. By not being hard on them, you're raising them properly and by instructing them. So that's kind of the goal in it. Do not provoke your kids to wrath. Don't discipline your kids when you're angry. See, what happens is you teach them about anger. You teach them that you're angry, that you're not doing this for their own good. You're just informing them that you're frustrated and annoyed. You're doing it, remember, discipline is because you love your children, not because you're frustrated. Otherwise, they will learn anger from you, and they'll think that you're just punishing them because you can, because you're bigger and you're stronger. It's not what you want them to learn. And then they get angry at being punished. I remember that. I don't think this is for my own good. And then the second part is that idea of teaching them and instructing about the Lord. The word teach kind of has that idea of training, like an athletic kind of thing. It's training. If you're going to go out and run a marathon, you don't just go, hey, I think I'm going to get up this morning and go run a marathon. Never done it. I heard the story about a couple of guys. You know, high school guys, they're in pretty good shape. And they said, we're going to go run a marathon. They were buddies. And they were in surprisingly good shape. It's just that they had never really run distances, which is a problem if you're running 26.2 miles. And they actually made it 19 miles, both of them. You know, kind of slow, but they got there. And they said, hey, we're hungry. Let's stop and let's eat. So they went to a restaurant. They sat down. They ate. And they couldn't get up. They actually couldn't get up. Their muscles just seized up. And there they were, sitting there in a restaurant. In fact, they called their parents. Come get us. We can't finish the marathon. It's a great idea. So the whole idea is you're training your children day by day for this race, this marathon that is life. And the way that you do that is you instruct them about the Lord. And the word instruct has that idea of gently teaching the mind, gently shaping the mind. So giving them thoughts and giving them, you know, Bible stories and verse memorization. I really appreciate Annette and Kathy, Annette and Katie, and in fact, Tana does that too, teaches their kids Bible verse memorization and Bible stories, and that's part of that training, instructing them about the Lord. So, here's the thing I want to say. If you're parents, you're parents. You don't get to abdicate that responsibility. It's not someone else's job to raise your children. You are the parents. You can't expect someone else to raise and train your children. It's on you. Now, you can ask for help. You can read books. You can pass them off on the grandparents. You can ship them off to Siberia if you like. But it falls to you. And it's a wonderful privilege. Now, don't mess it up. So I want to tell you about two things that were really kind of key to me, I think God revealed to me about how I want to raise my child. And there's just two aspects. And I'm going to look through the verses and support my bias by using scripture. That's okay, right? That's what people do. Yeah. No, I think these are biblical principles. And so I think the first one is love them. Love them. And I'll talk about that. You love your children just like you love anyone else. You demonstrate it by how you treat them. And love is not just a feeling. It's an action, right? And so for love, if you're going to love your children, you have to listen to their thoughts and their ideas and their opinions. You have to interact with them. You have to spend time with them and get involved in their world. Let's take a look at the next verse. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That's an interesting verse. It's not necessarily what it looks like on the face of it. When it says, train up your child in the way he should go, it's saying, basically, find out the way God designed this person. What kind of person did God put in your home? What is this person? And what? How has God uniquely designed him or her? And find out about that and invest in that and train them up in the way they should go. Let me look at my other notes here. You're not trying to recreate yourself. You recognize that this is an individual, unique life. You want to give her or him all the wisdom and everything you learn, for sure. You really want to help them out. But you don't want to have them make the same mistakes you did, and yet they are their own little person. I wanted Grant to learn take on my love and enjoyment of bicycle riding. So from an early age, I taught him to ride a bike, and he did okay. It was pretty decent, and got out there. We didn't have a really good road at our old place. It was kind of gravel, and it had to start going uphill, and so that was a challenge. But, you know, he figured it out with a few pushes and a few scrapes, and he was fine. And then when he got, just a little bit older and I felt he was confident, I said, I'm going to take Grant with me. I'm going to go on a run on Fano Creek Trail, and he can ride his bike along. And he was doing pretty well, but, there's one spot where you come up off of a bridge, and then you kind of go downhill, and then there's a corner. It's right kind of between Denny and Hall, in fact. And so he went up that, and he got ahead of me coming down the hill, and I'm going, okay, I hope he makes this corner. And I'm running and trying to keep up, and he disappears. He's gone. And I hear this, and he gone right into a blackberry thicket. I mean, just head on. And there he was. I had to go in and extract him out of it. And, I learned then and there that that probably turned him off to the whole idea. You need a little balance between pushing a person, pushing your kids, and trying to teach them new skills and broaden their world, which is important, and learning to accept that it really may not be their thing. So you expose them to new ideas, new experiences. You push them a bit, but you know when to back off. And then you find out their unique personality, abilities, and interests, as long as they're healthy and good for them. I mean, you are the parent, after all. So maybe not an interest in explosives at an early age. fireworks, that kind of thing. And you take interest in what they like, and you learn to speak their language. You learn to play Minecraft and have long discussions about Boba Fett. That's what you do, right? The other part of love is physical affection, physical attention, touch, hugs, a pat on the shoulder. Men aren't often as good about this. Oh, it's kind of tough, man. Punch your kid. My grandpa used to pull my ears. My mom told me that was love. I told her it was pain. Hello. Can I do it? Come on, man. Come on.
Can I do it?
Yeah, sure. It hurts. Hey. Yeah, see, that's love, right? Yeah. That was my grandpa, and that was, that was a tough way of showing, the old German way of showing love. And I realized that that may not work, that may not translate to kids. That it's actually okay to go up and give them a hug. I'm not going to do it, I'm just going to punch you. And pat them and touch them. Grant told me at age 15 I needed to quit patting him on the bottom. It was embarrassing, apparently. So, I mean, there are some lines that you need to do. Maybe that was 14. So encouragement, physical touch, affection. You are a safe place for your kids. And boys and girls and men and women, you need to do that. And it's appropriate, with the appropriate way, maybe not the pat on the bottom with your 16, 18-year-old boy at that point, but it's appropriate at any age to give them a hug, to pat them on the shoulder. And we all need it. And encouragement, we talked about encouragement last week. You know what encouragement is? It's giving somebody courage to face the reality of a difficult, sometimes difficult world and difficult circumstances. It's giving someone courage. The world can be a tough place, and you get the privilege of speaking strength into your child's life. you get the privilege more than anyone else. You have more power in that realm than any other person as a parent of speaking strength into your child's life. You get to tell them that they're good looking, they're strong, they're smart, that they're a good kid. And it's funny how that works. As you tell them that, they kind of become that. You're speaking strength into their life. And you never want to let an opportunity for affirmation get away from you. You see what I'm saying? It's pretty easy for me to do. I can turn something into a sarcastic comment in a heartbeat. And maybe that's not always the best thing. You know, I think it's funnier to be witty. And yet, you need to never let an opportunity for affirmation get away from you. I've had my share of failure in this. And so I'm going to go ahead and blame my parents, because that's the thing to do. I think we have a picture of my parents here, me as a little kid. Is it on there somewhere? Yeah, there we go. I was cute, really, then. Little beanie, two little teeth.
Still no hair?
Yeah.
There was a brief span of time where I had hair. It was really cool. I long for those days. So I'm gonna go here, and you guys, I'm trusting you not to mock me. This is really embarrassing. So I wet the bed much later than my brothers. Really late in life. I mean, that doesn't signal any problems, does it? You know, like there's not anything psychological going on there. Because that doesn't indicate any issues. Anyway, my dad would joke about that in front of his friends. My brother Steve was skinny. My younger brother Joel was clumsy. And I was a bedwetter. You know, like up to age, I don't know, 5 or 6 or something really embarrassing. 10, 15, 30, I don't know. It's bad. Sorry, hon. So Steve was skinny. I was a bedwetter. Joe was clumsy. And my dad thought it was really funny to call Steve string bean, Joel jumping bean, and me kidney bean. Yo. Thought that was really funny. And that didn't hurt my sensitive little heart, right? I remember it to this day because it had no impact on me, right? Kids remember that kind of stuff. I don't care what it is. You need to speak strength and encouragement into your kids' lives. Affirm constantly. Don't put down. Build up. And here's how. Here's a couple of ideas. Here's the thing, and this really, I wasn't raised this way. I don't get that. It was considered weakness to affirm someone. Weakness! You know what? It's really hard. And so it's strength to affirm someone. It's strength to affirm your kids. It takes guts, and it's hard for me, and I have to actually stop myself and go, I need to say something. Why is it hard to say something? So I simply say something like, Grant, good job with the way you talk to your friend Raceland there. You are a really good friend to him, and I bet he appreciates it. Simple. What does he feel like when I say that? He feels like a good friend. He feels like he's good with people. Thanks for remembering to take out the garbage. You are a helpful kid. That's so much better than, hey, you forgot the garbage. You know, affirm them when they do. Susanna Wesley said that. And tell them you love them. Actually, use those words. I love you. I love you, kid. You're a great kid. I love you. Use those words all the time. It's not corny. It's not weak. It's true, and you know it, and they need to hear it all the time. Okay, second part of this. First part is love. So you show love by training and instructing. You show love by physical affection, physical touch, and you show love by encouragement, right? The second part is discipline. And so, you know, people tend to fall off one side or the other on this, don't they? They tend to overemphasize the discipline, or they overemphasize the love without putting any boundaries in their kid's life. And yet, really, boundaries are love. And I'm going to talk about that here as we kind of finish up. You get to set the boundaries of protection around your children. Think of boundaries as protection. And if you love your children, you protect them. You want to protect them. And spiritual and moral boundaries are essential. You are, believe it or not, wiser than your children. at least until they're about 13. Then they're far away. Isn't that true?
Yeah.
Yeah. You guys are much wiser than your parents. Right? Okay, yeah, well, yeah, you're afraid to admit it, but you know you are, right? if you love them, you will put the effort in to set the boundaries. You don't let them determine what happens in your family. You don't let your children determine the tenor of your home. Is this radical? Because it doesn't seem radical to me. But you determine it. You want a quiet home? You want a gentle home? You want a violence-free home? You get to set that. It's your job, because you're the parent. Proverbs, the next verse, sorry, I put you up here. Correct your children before it's too late. If you don't punish them, you are destroying them. Amen? It's true. If you don't punish them, you're destroying them. Kids, I didn't hear an amen over here. I don't know what's going on. Come on. Amen? No, not getting familiar. Just a little shake of the head. All right, well, that's fair. I get it. Kids naturally want to push the boundaries. And sometimes they don't know any better, right? They don't know any better. So you teach them. You set the boundaries. And kids naturally want to push the boundaries. They explore. They try to get into everything, try everything. And you don't want to kill their curiosity, right? Because that's a valuable thing. But there is an inherent sinfulness. And the Bible says we're born into Adam's race. We are born with this sin nature. Anyone who has a two-year-old knows this. How early on was it that you felt like, man, this Lucy has a sin nature? Pretty early, huh?
Was it a week?
But, you know, so what do? So God says, you know, set boundaries. Appropriate boundaries for the age, but you get to set those boundaries. If you don't do it, you're destroying them. Every parent who is honest sees this in their kid from a very early age, and it usually isn't cute or funny. Because there's a point when kids are just being cute and funny and trying new things, like, oh, that's kind of cute. But sometimes it's just plain mean and bad, right? Temper tantrums, screaming, taking toys from other kids, destroying furniture, etc. Okay, not cute. Well, sometimes it is. I remember when Grant was about 4 months old, he was in the car carrier in the back seat. He must have been a little older than that, because I think the seat was facing forward, and then, yeah. When is that age that you can face the seat forward? I don't remember. We didn't care about that. Anyway, he was there, and we had, back in my yellow Toyota Celica 79 GT hatchback, big wire wheels. Mm-hmm. That was one sweet ride. Anyway, I'm back. Should have brought pictures. That was lovely, lovely piece of machinery. 22R engine. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? That's right. And he was sitting in the back seat there, and we had the groceries back there with him, and Grant would typically hum or just kind of talk nonsense. Na, 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 kind of like what Chris does now. And he's not here, right?
He agrees.
Yeah, that's fair, that's fair. But he would and it was really quiet back there.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, exactly. And so Beth turns around, and there's Grant, and he's managed to wrestle the dozen eggs out of the top of the bag, open the lid, and poke each one, and they're licking his fingers. Happy as a clam at high tide. One by one, poking the... But even when it's cute and funny, you have to protect them, right? You know, salmonella is not that great of a thing. The next verse says, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. I was actually literally spanked with a coat hanger, which that wasn't damaging or anything. Occasionally a belt, very thin belt, and it had... had inch-long spikes on it and hooks to tear the flesh. Actually, no. It was I was spanked. And I probably didn't need it because you know I didn't have that sin nature like other kids. But no, that's absolutely not true. I've been working on it. Now I've got one. where was I going with this? The whole idea of the rod of correction, it doesn't necessarily mean something to beat somebody with. You know, a rod as a shepherd was something to keep them from going places, to pull them in, to protect them, to keep enemies away, but it was a boundary-setting thing. Now, I admit that corporal punishment is often often necessary. I said corporal, not capital punishment. It's not okay. All right. Corporal punishment is often necessary, and I know that people differ on this, okay? You know what I'm talking about? I think that especially at a certain age that kids need to develop an instinct that this is a thing that is not good for me. Sometimes it's as simple, I'm going to use you as a volunteer. Stand up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, lucky. Corporal punishment volunteer right here, William. Sometimes it's as simple as just a slap on the hand like that.
Wow.
Oh, shut up. You know, as a kid, it doesn't really hurt them. It's just enough for them to say, I'm in trouble. And it develops an instinctive response. Do not reach for that Bunsen burner. Oof. Right? But you have a Bunsen burner on the dining room table for, I don't want it. All right? But when I do that, it hurts. And it's very little pain to them, and they probably will cry. But sometimes it's necessary. I think there's a certain age when it isn't really necessary anymore. These are mostly my opinions here. I'm not talking beatings or even necessarily spankings. I mean, I got my share, and look how I turned out. But sometimes if you just block them or move them in their little minds, they see it as another obstacle to overcome. Another challenge. And of course there are times, especially in public places, where you just got to remove them from the situation. Just pick them up, take them out, and you're done. And you don't want to cause the problem. Because the truth is, you are trying to protect them from unnecessary hurt later on in life. You want to protect them. Now, the amount of and style of discipline does vary from child to child. You have to observe carefully and see if you're getting through or overdoing it. I realize that I could discipline Grant. Beth and I joked about this. We could discipline Grant like this. Just that right there. One raised eyebrow. And that would be enough. To send people like, put the fear of God in him. It's pretty cool. Especially at a later age after, 18 or so. But discipline does change with age, and I think that corporal punishment is most beneficial at the younger ages, and simple. You don't want to really hurt them, you just want to send the message, all right? And later, other methods. And you might be saying to me, but they're just children, Dan. They're just children. Think about the children. They need to yell, and they need to scream, and they need to run around and get into the poisonous chemicals we keep under the sink because they're children, right? No. See, boundaries don't restrict or hamper a child's development. Boundaries give them a safe and secure environment in which to develop. Do you understand what I'm saying? I think that's pretty important. Boundaries give your children security. Without knowing what they're not supposed to do clearly, and knowing the consequences, and experiencing the consequences for what they're not supposed to do, when they experience those things, it's a safe place for them to be. That brings security into their lives like nothing else. And that coupled with love and affection, you got a winning combination. Or so, I think. Grant may still turn out to be an axe murderer. It's possible. He's a little weird, but I like that kind of weird. So you set, here's some practical advice. I'm almost done here. Set the punishment to the crime as much as possible, right? That's what the bees did. That was your advice. I think it's sound. Set the punishment to fit the crime as much as possible. It's a kid abusing their cell phone privileges. Girls, you're not going to like me for this. I'm terribly sorry. I'm giving your parents ideas. Is the kid you abusing their cell phone privileges? Well, what do? You restrict their cell phone usage. Pretty simple. And if it's bad enough, you take it away. You give it to them only for emergency situations. It's that simple. They didn't obey the curfew, they get to stay home for a few nights. See, the punishment fits the crime. They made a mess in the house, extra cleaning duties. Really works. They kind of get the sense of how these things work. And never, ever threaten what you don't carry out. Don't do it. Don't say, oh, you're going to be in a lot of trouble, and then forget about it. Don't say, you're going to get a spanking for that, and then don't. Always keep your promise. Which brings me to the point, don't make rash promises. In fact, don't, if you possibly can, avoid setting the punishment while you're upset. Because a lot of times what happens as a parent is you get caught up in the middle of things and you're like, that really chaps my hide. And you want to get revenge. That ain't cool. That's not what we're called to do. That's simply not what we're called to do. We're called to love our children and set boundaries for them. And so here's a thing. I'm going to give you a little help here. Sometimes it's best to say I or we will think of an appropriate punishment or consequence, and then we're going to tell you. In fact, you can say, Kathy, you disobeyed me. She's not here. Go to your room, and I will be there in a few minutes to talk about the consequences. See, what happens is you do two things. It's kind of cool. It's kind of cheating. Number one, you kind of put the fear into them, like, oh, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? So they're thinking about it, and then it gives you a chance to cool down and be rational and think, what's actually best for them? What's best for them? So you stop the situation, go to your room. I'm going to be in there in a couple minutes, and we're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about the consequences. You talk it over with your spouse, or you think about it, or you pray about it, and then you do it. You need to be the calm presence. You are disciplining your child because you love them, not because you're mad or frustrated at them. Yes, it can be frustrating sometimes. I mean, right? It can be very frustrating, but your discipline is because you love them and you want to set those boundaries. Well, let's look at that last verse. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his sons. That's from Hebrews, and he's quoting Proverbs 3 there. But he's talking about this whole idea of, as believers, whoever the author of Hebrews is, some say Paul, some say somebody else, John Mark, I've heard, other people. He's talking about, as Christians, the difficulties and trials that we face. And he's saying that God doesn't waste any of that. In fact, God can take the things that happen in your life, the trials, the difficulties, the struggles that you face, the things that happen, you can take those and turn them into something that trains you. That trains you to obedience, that trains you to holiness, that actually is a loving act. Can you believe that? I mean, I struggle to believe that, but that's what Scripture says. And so he says, don't make light of that. In other words, don't ignore it. Don't cast that off and say, that's just garbage that I don't want to deal with right now. But instead you look at it and say, God, what am I supposed to learn by this? What are you trying to teach me? Help me to learn it. Help me to understand it. I always say, and keep the discipline as light as you possibly can for me to understand what I need to get. I think he does, but I'm just reminding him. The Lord disciplines those he loves. He punishes each one he accepts as his child. See, God wants us to be his godly children. God wants us to be his godly children. And even Jesus had to endure discipline in order to learn obedience to the Father. Even Jesus had to endure discipline in order to learn obedience to the Father. Why? So that he would know what we go through. So that he would understand what we go through, which is pretty cool. And that's what our goal as parents is, not to teach kids to simply be obedient to us, but to their Heavenly Father. Our goal is to raise godly children. Our goal is to teach and instruct children in the Lord, because he is the perfect Father, the one who always acts in love toward us. So let's be parents that point the way to him. by example and by instruction. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are your children, and we don't always understand why you do things the way you do, and why we're disciplined. Lord, help us to be parents that love unconditionally, and that are not afraid to show that love, demonstrate that love. Help us to be like you, Heavenly Father. Help us to love our children enough to set the boundaries and protect them and give them safety and security. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.